about the Christmas play practice. I love Christmas. Let's just get Thanksgiving. Christmas. Of course, I do like the evening. All right. I asked something special last night. I don't know if anybody saw it online, but I asked that if you were able to at 9 o'clock, before you set your clocks back, to stop whatever you were doing and pray for the service this morning. Was anybody able to do that? Raise your hand.
Not at 9 o'clock.
One, two. Well, that's pretty good, seeing I only give you 2 hours' notice. Let me ask you this question, because I've asked you this question before. It's been about a year and a half or more since I asked you this question. How many of you prayed for the service this morning before you got here? Okay. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. You want to see a service run smooth and the Holy Spirit move in a mighty way? Start praying. Guess what? It says this is a worship service. You're not here to be served. You're here to serve Him. And so when you come into this place on Sunday, you should be prayed up and praying for everything that's going on here. And that's not only your responsibility, that's your duty. Wasn't that nice of your pastor to tell you that today? Amen. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture today. This is from 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 13. And it's actually a promise. It's not a promise that we like. God gives us lots of promises, but we really, really don't like this promise. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. I don't know how many of you recently have noticed how persecution of Christians has been on the rise worldwide. That would sort of go along with the verses that we just read. Matter of fact, did you know this? I didn't know this until just a couple days ago, that about every 3 minutes a Christian is killed and tortured and killed for their faith somewhere in our world today. So by the time that we're done at 11:30, we started at 9:30, 40 Christians have been tortured and killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Several countries, millions of Christians, in several countries, it's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to assemble together, have a Bible study, and to worship. You could be thrown in jail. Little children are being martyred, killed for their faith. This is a heavy message today, isn't it? Once in a while, we need a wake-up call. When I see in Sudan a five-year-old boy tortured and will not say that he will serve Allah, but he will live for Jesus Christ, that's a statement. I'm praying that God will revive His church all across America. I pray that God will revive Hammer Memorial United Methodist Church, that we would know that we could stand for Him in the midst of anything that's going on. I'm going to just show you this video. It's maybe I might stop it in the middle, but we're going to watch this video. This is just one place in the world where it's hard to be a Christian, Indonesia. Are we ready back there for that video? We'll give it a try. Sort of the way everything's been going today.
God raised him from the dead.
Well, if you can't get it, you got it? We did. I don't know if any of you noticed they're sitting in different spots back in sound booth. We did have the everything rearranged And so maybe that's caused a little bit of problem. We're surprised that last Sunday it wasn't a big problem because everything was new back there. So are we ready now?
Persecution from the time of Christ until now. It has pursued those who choose to follow Christ, burned as heretics, beaten, beheaded. They've been called counter-revolutionaries, hidden away in communist prison cells, never to return. Regarded as infidels, they face humiliation, torture, or worse. Persecution is no respecter of age, culture, or gender, spanning broadly diverse circumstances. Those
well, we're just going to go on here. Okay, let's just shut it off. Bonnie, can you tell us where you found that? We can watch the whole thing. I watched it, and Bonnie watched it. Do you have an iPhone?
You have to have a subscription.
Maybe that's our problem. Okay. You want to try it one more time? I mean, this is really important. Oh my gosh. One more time. No. Okay. Okay. Well, let's go to our notes. We're going to forget that. So switch over to the screen for our notes today. If you're taking notes today, you can follow along. First thing I want to talk about today is God doesn't make it easy for us to be good. You ever notice that? I've had different grandchildren come up to me, different grandsons, and say, you know, Papa, one called me Grandpa, one called me Papa. They go, I try so hard to be good, but I always do bad things. And isn't that all of us, though? We're all that way. We all want to do good, but we end up doing bad. That's what Apostle Paul talked about. He said, I know what is right, and I try to do it, but I don't do it. And it's a wonderful thing that we have a loving God who is gracious and forgives us. And it's just a reminder that we need Him to walk through this life, that we cannot do it on our own. We need His strength to help us to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul told young Timothy a diehard principle and fact about being a Christian. And we read it earlier, and it said this. Everyone, notice it doesn't say just some. Everyone who wants to be a God, who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not maybe, but will suffer persecution. That's a promise. If we're truly serving Jesus Christ, we will be persecuted in some way or some form. Not like as severe as other parts of the country, of the world, but we will be persecuted somehow, some way, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ as a promise. But it's in there with all those other good promises, too. He gives us a promise that He'll give us peace no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of problems are going on. He will fill us with a supernatural peace. He also promises that He'll provide for us when it doesn't look like anything's going to work. He'll provide for us mentally, emotionally, financially, physically. He promised to protect us and heal us and give us deliverance. But there's also this promise that we don't like so much, that if we desire to serve Him wholeheartedly, we will suffer persecution. It's a teaching that's repeated throughout the New Testament, and it doesn't seem fair. And you know what? Life is not fair. It never has been fair. It never will be fair. Life is a fight, and that's why Paul said to young Timothy, who was probably only about 17 when Timothy started his ministry, he said to young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, we're in a fight. We're in a battle. We need to be fighting for our lives, and especially our life in Jesus Christ. It takes perseverance. Fight for your life in Christ. Jesus said this, and my pastor used to quote this all the time, and I didn't like it when he quoted it. He said, Pastor, don't quote that one. I don't like it. Take that one out of the Bible. We see people are doing that nowadays, aren't they? Just taking the parts of the Bible they like and building whole teachings on it. But this is what Jesus said. He said, all men will hate you. Well, Paul didn't just hate Dallas over here. He's an easy target. No, all men will hate you. Why? Because of me, Jesus said. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I think about those five-year-old little boys and girls that have been beheaded or burned alive for their faith. How do they do that? Stand at such a young age. Are we preparing our children for what true Christianity is all about? You see, they know the risen Savior. They've experienced the risen Savior. They have encountered His presence and His Holy Spirit. Are we just going through the motions, and I'm preaching to myself today, or are we allowing the Holy Spirit to be poured into our innermost being and flood us so that we know that we know that we know that we have resurrection power and resurrection life in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the whole universe. Amen. Oh, to beat your opponent in any sport, and let's just praise God for our football team winning districts, and give them applause right now. Go Wildcats. Go Wind State. Hopefully go out and win state. But if you're going to beat your opponent in any sport, or if you're going to beat your opponent at war, you're going to need perseverance. Perseverance. That's why I'm asking you from now on, don't let Saturday night slip by without praying for the service. Don't you want to see people getting baptized? Don't you want to see people getting saved? Don't you want to see people getting on fire for God? Don't you want to see us change our community? Don't you want to see us... Somebody agree with me. Someone say amen. Don't you want to see something out of the normal? Something supernatural? A visitation from our holy God? His Holy Spirit and power from on high? Does anybody want that? Are we hungry for God? Amen. This isn't in my notes, but it's all free for you. There were two frogs, and they were in a bucket of green, and they were paddling away. And the first frog said, I can't do this anymore. Said to the other frog, goodbye, old friend. Goodbye, cruel world. And he stopped paddling, and he drowned, and he died. The second frog, he kept paddling, in that bucket of green. 1 hour went by, 2 hours went by, 3 hours went by, and he jumped out via butter. Hello, when life is your dream, make butter. When life is your lemons, you know what you're supposed to do, pucker. No, make lemonade. There was a man who had a dream. It was such a powerful dream that one of the Presbyterian newsletters that were sent out published this. This man went to heaven in his dream, and he bumped into a Christian that was there during the time of Nero, the Emperor of Rome's persecution of the church and Christians. And the man said to the guy who was having the dream, he said, I was covered in pitch. I was put in Nero's garden, and I was lit on fire to be a lantern in his garden until I died. And the man having the dream said to him, that's awful. He said, no, it's not awful. I did it because Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. It was worth it. Then, in his dream, he comes up with another person who just died a few hundred years earlier. His name was John William. And John William started to tell him, I was in the South Seas, and I was telling people about the love of God. I was telling them about Jesus. And the natives didn't like it. So they took me off to the side, and they beat me. And they beat me, and they beat me, until they smashed my head in. And then after they smashed my head in, then they cut me up into pieces. This is PG-13 today. They cut me up into pieces, they boiled me, and then they ate me. And the guy having the dream says, that's awful. He says, no, it's not. Jesus was tortured and beaten for me. Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. Jesus died on a cross for me. And then they both looked at the guy that was having the dream, and they said, what have you suffered for him?
That's the question today. That's the question I had to ask myself today. And yesterday, and the day before, and the day before that. What are you going to say when you get paid? What did you suffer for him? Well, I had arthritis in my left knee. And they couldn't fix it, and I've been hobbling around. No, not what you're suffering. What have you suffered for him? See, everywhere in the world the church is growing where they're being persecuted. The only place where this church is shrinking, and I just got our new journal, every church in our district, number one, 140 churches, United Methodist Church, have shrunk in attendance, and they're shrinking every year. Everywhere we go, we see a church attendance shrinking in the Western culture. We are living a recreational culture club kind of Christianity, country club kind of Christianity. Do we really know what the real thing is? Have we had a real encounter with the risen Savior Jesus Christ that we're willing to say, do whatever, Lord, you need to do in order to promote your glory and your honor? Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The second thing we're going to look at is God isn't particularly interested in making me look good. He's not trying to make me look good or you look good today. I like the way Paul says, and I'm going to read it from the Message. It's a pretty cool translation. Paul says this, it seems to me that God has put us who bear his message on stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket. We are something everyone stands around and stares at like an accident in the street. Are we trying to fit in? Or are we going to be the counterculture that we were called to be? Oh, my. You see, my only job is this, is to take this Bible and to preach every part of it to you and to teach you this Word of God. Even the parts we don't like. And this is one of the promises that we don't like, that we will suffer persecution if we hunger and we follow Jesus Christ. Woo! Stand up and shout hallelujah for that one, huh? Are you ready? Are you ready? Stephen was arrested right after he preached a great sermon, but God wasn't interested in making him look good. They stoned him to death. And as he's dying, what does Stephen say? He says, Lord, receive my spirit. Don't charge this sin to him. We think that God saved us or saved me because we're so special. And yeah, we are special to him. He made us to be his workmanship, his masterpiece. He loves us, and he died for us. And he saved us because we are special. But that's not the real main reason. The real main reason why God saves you and me is for his glory. Because the Bible says this, all have sinned. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a sinner. I don't hear you. Tell someone next to you, you're a sinner. You've sinned. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, the main purpose is that when we sin and we're not serving Christ like we should, God's glory is falling short. So every time we do things for him and we just be there for him and we represent him, and as another person comes to Christ, it restores his glory. Amazing, isn't it? That's the main reason why we've been saved. We've been saved to bring glory to God, not so that we can escape the fiery hells of the fiery flames of hell. That's not why he saved us. It's for his glory. I like what Isaiah wrote, that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone. The third thing that we're going to look at now is God doesn't accommodate his schedule to mine. Did you get that one? Western Church? Oh boy. You know, Lazarus didn't have a near-death experience. Lazarus actually died. He was dead. He stinked. His body was beginning to decompose in his grave. But Jesus showed up after he was dead. And this is what Martha said to Jesus. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. See, Jesus doesn't accommodate what our schedule is. Do you know how many people die on my day off? How dare they do that? How many times a relative died during a holiday? How dare they inconvenience us? He does not accommodate our schedules. God does not accommodate His schedule to our schedule. But Jesus did a wonderful thing. He always brings back joy. He always does a wonderful thing. He says, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus comes out of the grave. Everybody's holding their nose. And they're unwrapping the grave clothes around him. And he stunk horrible, but he was alive. It's never too late for Jesus. Jesus is there. Jesus is going to deliver us. Jesus is going to heal us. Jesus is going to do something. If Bonnie doesn't get healed of what she's going through, then her ultimate healing is going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to dance up there sometime together. Right now we don't do a whole lot of dancing. I probably step on her feet too much. The fourth thing, and the last thing I'd like us to look at is this. God won't put my task ahead of my relationship with Him. Even when there are things that just have to get done. Well, you just don't understand, Gene. I got this, that, and the other thing, and God doesn't really care. He's first, or He's not anything. Man. Wow. He's either God or He's not. You see, the title of the message today, I forgot to even read it. Go back to my notes here. Can't even find it. God is God and I am not. We're living like we're God and we're making our choices and we don't even ask Him first. Pray where you're going to go to college, Austin. Put you right on the spot. Pray where God wants you to go. Get a voice from heaven that lets you know and a peace from heaven that this is where God wants me. Just don't say, you know, I like this one the best. I like this house the best. Oh, you know, you could move in a house and it's haunted. Wouldn't that be something? That'll teach you a lesson. Huh? Just thought of that because it was Halloween. Now, here a bunch of people are in the house and they're studying at the feet of Jesus. And they're just soaking it in. And Mary's there, soaking in the teaching of Jesus, just wanting more of God. And Martha, she's panicking because there's no one helping her do the dishes. There's no one doing the cooking, trying to take care of all these gifts. These gifts that are in her house. And so she gets mad at Mary. Mary, what are you doing? And Jesus knows exactly what's going through Martha's mind. And I like what Jesus says. He says, Martha, Martha. He doesn't say Martha. Yeah, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. What is the best thing in life? It's getting to know Jesus, the author of life. That's what life's all about. Martha, Martha. Sometimes God says that to me. Jesus must shake his head and say, Gene, Gene, you've got all these worries. You've got all these problems, all these mountains. Surrounding you. You're in the valley of darkness. Gene, Gene, Gene. Just pick the most important thing. Sit down with me. Let me fill you up with me. Let me teach you. The big question today is this. It seems that God doesn't make it easy for us to follow Him, right? Why do you think He designed it that way? I want you to think about that and write something down. I personally, my opinion is this, and you can throw it out if you want to. It's because He loves us so much as His children, that He wants us to grow up to be like Him. And that's how He does it, by not making it easy to follow Him. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, we just pray that You take this word, hide it in our hearts, that we would not sin against You. Hide it in us, Lord, that we may grow, Lord Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us, Lord, to be ready. Ready our children and our grandchildren for what's up ahead. We want to be ready for You and whatever's going to take place in the future. We ask it in Your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for communion today. Everyone is welcome to take communion here. We do have balloons for you in this back corner. But we are dippers, not sippers. How we told you that before, you dip the bread in the cup and then partake. Well, let us do our liturgy together for communion. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.